Gospel, chapter 11, and can be found on page 1042 of the Church Bibles. Luke, chapter 11, the first 13 verses. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Derek. As I mentioned earlier, we are continuing in our sermon series on spiritual disciplines today, and as you will have realised, the focus is prayer. And just to explain it now, so we're not interrupted later, at the end of the sermon time, there'll be 3 songs that we've put together on purpose just to give us a chance to spend time with God before we then formally finish the service. So that's what will happen, and we won't talk about it then because it will interrupt our flow if we do, so I'm explaining it now. So today we're focusing on God's invitation to each of us to spend time with him. It's a really good time to do this in the time of Lent. That's kind of why I chose spiritual disciplines, partly for this term. At Lent, we're called to set aside time with God each day in preparation for celebrating Jesus' death and rising again in glory at Easter. And so it's a really good time to think about spiritual disciplines, and it's a really good time today on the first Sunday of Lent to think about prayer. So let's pray now as we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you long for us, your children, to spend time in your presence. And we ask that today, whether we are praying easily at the moment or whether it's hard, you will meet with us and you will reawaken in our hearts our desire and love for you. Amen. So in an interview about his life and ministry a couple of years before he died, Billy Graham said that if he had the chance to do it all over again, he would spend more time in prayer and less time on speaking engagements. And this really struck me when you think about Billy Graham and his ministry. And this is what he said. "If I had the opportunity to do it over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity." Really, really striking. D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist who lived in the 19th century and who in the times before the internet and mostly before the invention of the telephone, saw millions of people come to the faith in the Lord as a result of his teaching and preaching in America and in the UK, also said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher." Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Praying is the heart of the Christian life and our relationship with God, and praying is the heart of the church. Why? Because it's God for whom our hearts were created. It's God, whether we realise it or not, for whom our hearts were conditioned to continually long. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all our hearts and soul and mind and strength. And there is nothing more important we can do than pray and spend time with God. And so it's good for us as we get going this morning to think about the state of our heart with God again for a moment. I know I ask us to do that quite often, actually. We're not thinking, what are we doing to serve him? That's not what I'm asking. We're not thinking, how busy are we for him or for others? That's not what I'm asking either. But how is our heart for the Lord? Are we spending time with him every day? Do we love him above all persons or activities or things? Is there anything which stops us from spending time with him? By the time of the events of our reading today, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, it's on page 1042. I encourage you to keep it open if you would like to. Page 1042. The disciples had spent nearly 3 years with Jesus. They had seen that for Jesus, prayer was like food for the soul. They'd spent every day with him. They'd seen how he went off to pray in quiet places. Now, they were Jewish men, so prayer wouldn't have been an entirely new concept to them. But they saw something different about Jesus and the relationship that he had with the Father through prayer. And they longed to experience this themselves. And so they went to him and they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And in order to help them, we see in this passage that Jesus offered them a prayer, a model prayer, a parable to teach them about prayer, and then a promise. So a prayer, a parable, and a promise. And we're going to talk about each of those for this time now. So firstly, a prayer. Now, Jesus began by totally revolutionising the disciples' concept of who they were praying to. They, and we sometimes, needed to be reminded who God is and the kind of relationship for whom we have been created. In verse 2, it says, "When you pray, pray, Father." Now, in the Old Testament, thinking back to kind of where the disciples' roots would have been, Father is used as a title for God only 15 times. And none of these are in relationship to praying to God as Father. But in contrast, by the time of the New Testament, in the Gospels alone, the four parts of the New Testament that talk about kind of Jesus being alive on the earth the most, God is referred to as Father 165 times. So less than 15 times in the Old Testament and never in the context of prayer. 165 times in four Gospels of the New Testament. So Jesus is explaining to them that through the death which he's about to die for them and his resurrection, we who are followers of Jesus have the right and the honour to call God Father. All the way through the Old Testament, God is rightly called mighty names. He's called Yahweh and King and Sovereign and Creator. And he is absolutely all of those things. But Jesus is saying, and now we can call him Father as well. "Hallowed be your name" reflects the desire of the person praying that God's name be recognised as holy and worthy of worship. Prayer is an act of worship and the focus is on God, it's not on us. Mother Teresa described this attitude as putting oneself in the hands of God at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts. And another commentary writer says that in worship we respond to what God has already done for us. We don't just show up on a Sunday for no reason. There are lots of other things we could all be doing on Sunday mornings instead. But we come to worship because our lives have been radically transformed by the forgiveness and grace available to us through Jesus, who died and rose from the dead. In the same way, when we pray, we do so primarily because of what God has already done for us, and therefore we praise him for his goodness. Prayer is an awful lot more about God than it is about us. By praying, thy kingdom come, we are saying to God that we wish his will and his ways to be prevalent in our lives and those of others right here and right now. Praying your kingdom come is saying to God that we want his will and his ways for us and those we love, and that we realise that that starts with us. We're asking God to show us how to become the people he intended us to be. We're asking him to rework our lives with us so we become more like his son Jesus. And then we're humbly asking him to use us, if he wishes, in his work in bringing about his kingdom here on earth. By praying, give us our daily bread, we're recognising our need of God and we are humbling ourselves further before him. We are asking him to grant us the things we need. It's not the things we want. Now, I often do ask him for the things I want as well. I think we probably all do. But it is a recognition, actually, that we can trust God to give us the things we need and that he knows the things we need in life. And we're acknowledging, actually, that apart from him, we are spiritually impoverished. When we ask him to forgive us our sins, we throw ourselves on his mercy. And we ask for forgiveness of the things we do wrong, for the times when we've been selfish or thoughtless, when we've been unkind, when we thought we were better than someone else, when we haven't done something that might have helped another, when we've been too busy to think of God, or when we've just simply been careless sometimes and we haven't even realised something we've done. All of these things separate us from God, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we can be restored and made clean and start again. And one of the things I love so much about the Christian walk and about our Lord is that he opens his arms and welcomes us back every single time. And it happens all the time to me, and I'm sure it does to all of us. But what a joy that God has us back every single time. And then the final part of that example prayer is the call to forgive everyone who sins against us too. Showing to others the grace that Jesus has shown to us. And we can trust God to help us with that. It's not an easy thing. That's quite a challenging thing sometimes. And some of the things that happen to us are really big and really hard. But it's about giving those back to God instead of holding on to them ourselves. So that's a fast forward overview of the Lord's Prayer. But in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a prayer that we can pray in itself. And he also gives us a prayer that is a formula to pray from. It's a model of intimacy with God. And it's a model of how we, as followers of Jesus, might pray to God. And it's a really useful prayer because if we're ever, ever stuck, we don't know what words to do, we're so stuck, we're so mind blown by something, we always have the Lord's Prayer. And if we're new to prayer and trying to find a way into praying, we can use it as a structure for kind of adding in bits of prayers. So helpful, so clever of God to do that for us. So God invites us to pray, but he also gives us some tools we need to pray effectively. So Jesus gives us a model prayer, and then he goes on to follow with an example of how to pray with the parable about the unexpected visitor. So we've had a prayer, now he gives us a parable. So there's a very important visitor who arrives in the middle of the night to see a householder whose cupboard is bare. Now, in Jewish customs of the time, hospitality was a sacred thing. And so the householder had to go and find some food from a friend. It just was not done. You didn't not give somebody who knocked something. Now, a commentator called William Barclay tells us that poor Palestinian households, which this is likely to have been, would have consisted of only one room with a small window. A whole family would have slept together for warmth, perhaps sleeping on mats in front of a stove or a fire. And for one person to rise in the night was inevitably to disturb the whole family. Further, it was customary in the villages to bring in the livestock, the hens, the cockerels, the goats into the house at night. So it's no wonder that this man was reluctant to get out of bed, because that kerfuffle is what it would have caused. But the determined borrower keeps knocking. By now, the whole family would have been awake anyhow. And so the friend helps his neighbour out. Now, what does that story teach us about prayer? Well, the message of the parable is based not on likeness, but on contrast, of course. If the tired householder can, in the end, be persuaded by his friend's persistence into giving him what he needs, how much more will God, who is our loving Father, supply our needs? Jesus is showing us that we can go to God on any day, at any time, for anything. It's absolutely okay to take the bad stuff to God. It's absolutely okay to take the good stuff to God, because he wants us to. He loves us and he wants to hear from us. And Jesus goes on to make a comparison to our earthly fathers. Even good earthly fathers who want good things for their children are not as good as our Father in heaven, who knows all that is on our hearts anyway, and invites us to come before him and tell him all about it. Despite that, it's the most wonderful invitation to all of us into prayer. I'm going to go off on a slight tangent here. We know that prayer can also be a tricky topic. It's wrong to continue without acknowledging, if I'm talking about prayer, and this is the only time I'm going to talk about prayer for a little while, it's wrong to acknowledge that there are prayers that we pray sometimes that, if God is saying, tell me what you need, tell me what you want, why does it then go wrong sometimes when we pray something and they seem to go unanswered? We know Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that God, his Father, would find another way to fulfill his plans for the future of the world. And we know that that prayer went unanswered. The request that Jesus asked to God, if it was possible, didn't get answered. And he went to the cross for us instead. Now, I can't do the topic of unanswered prayer justice in a very short space of time. I probably can't do it justice at all. I'm happy to talk about it if it's something that worries people, and I know it does for one or two of us. It's a question that people come back with time and time again, so I didn't want to go past it either. What I would say is this. The one thing I do know is that prayer is about our relationship with God first. It's about any requests we bring to God after that. And that bringing our requests to God isn't the primary purpose of prayer. The primary purpose is to spend time with God in his presence. And another thing I do know is that many of our prayers are answered. And that's what motivates us to keep asking, because many of our prayers are answered. And we all probably have lists of prayers that are answered, along with the others where we're not sure what's going on. Another thing I know is that the more we pray about the big things and the small, the more prayers that are answered and the more joy and gratitude we feel, and the easier it is to carry on. And the final thing I have sort of thought through in my mind is that when God doesn't seem to answer with a yes, when our prayers don't always work, and that definitely happens to us all, it's happened to me many times and sometimes in a very painful way, we hold on to the times when God has graciously given us the things we have asked and needed. And we put our eyes to the cross and remember where God's love is most clearly seen. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So are the times when God seems silent, because he does sometimes, and we don't necessarily get it always, when our heart is breaking because of a suffering or injustice of the world and we don't understand God's ways, it's through the cross that we find that strength and hope to get through the day. It's through knowing that whatever appears to us to be happening or not happening, God loves us so much that it was worth the price of his very own Son. So it's a tangent, but I wanted to mention it. Jesus gives us a formula for our prayers in the Lord's Prayer. He shows us that God loves us, and regardless of the outcomes of our requests, there's nothing we can't take to him, no worry we can't share with him. And then he offers us a promise at the end of the Bible reading in verse 13. He ends his teaching on prayer by promising us the Holy Spirit, the counselor of wisdom, the gift of himself to us, living within us. Let's just pause and think how incredible that is for a moment. I don't know if you remember in Exodus, in chapter 33, there's a scene which is really dramatic, and everyone is amazed to see one God, one man, Moses, meeting with God, and they all come out on the hillside. Do you remember the scene? We watch Moses go up the hillside into the tent of prayer, one man. One man who God has enabled to go into his presence on their behalf, and no one else can go in. And it sounds like such an incredible picture. And certainly all the people were totally awestruck by what was going on. But think about this. Far more extraordinary is that thanks to what Jesus has done for us, these days all of us, as we know, can meet with God in person at any time, any place, because we have become the tent ourselves. God loves us so much, he's given us his children, his Holy Spirit living within us. There's never a time when we're not in the presence of God. There's never a time when we're not with him if we stop and remember to listen to his voice. In the whole passage, Jesus was teaching the disciples who God is as well as about prayer. And when we know who God is, we can't help but pray, because what else would we do? And the invitation God offers to us is a welcome with arms open wide in love every time we go to him. So we have a prayer, we have a parable, and we have a powerful promise. Let's pray now as we conclude. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We love you too, and we love to spend time with you. We are filled with joy at the thought of spending all eternity in your presence. We thank you that you have offered us in that scripture reading today a prayer which is a model of prayer. We can always return to when we're stuck, and we can use in so many different ways to help us pray to you. We thank you that you've offered us a parable showing us that you want to hear from us at all times about the things that are on our hearts. And we thank you that we have your Spirit living in us, helping us to pray, helping us to relate to you, and even praying for us at the times when we have no words. Amen.